what happens with the true gospel. It's divisive. It's a sword, and we have to endure it. We can't run from it. We got to stick it out. So today, you have a blessing with Reverend Dan Sandlin. Family, just so you know, when he's done and after the invitation happens, I'm going to have Audrey and the family. We have a certificate that we're going to present her today, and I would like for the family, Dan, and you to come down here and stand before us, and the congregation will come by and give you a warm Woodland Baptist hug. Amen. Or a holy kiss. That's biblical. Romans 16, right? Boy, y'all just quieted down on that one. Look it up. Romans 16. It's in there. But anyway, we are blessed to have you here. So, brother, why don't you come up and bring us the living water. Welcome, Reverend Dan Sandlin.
I was glad when they said, let's go into the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Woo! Doggies. You don't even hear most preachers say that, do you? I'm excited. Okay? I want to be honest with you, I'm nervous too. I'm not nervous about delivering God's word. I wasn't nervous about baptizing my granddaughter, but you have to understand, I come from a small country church. About three Sundays ago, one of my best deacons, I mean, I wish every church had six of this guy, and about three Sundays ago, I went in. He's dressed in a nice coat and tie, which is unusual because our church is in the middle of a cotton field. Usually it's jeans and a dress shirt, or just jeans and a shirt, you know. And he's dressed, and I said, are you preaching today? And he said, no, I'm on the pastor search committee. And I'm like, whoa! He was joking. He's joking, okay? Y'all looked at me like, oh. No, he was joking. And I have two good friends preaching at my church today. Dr. Don Donovan from Clarksdale Baptist Church. I met him through the pastor search committee for Clarksdale Baptist Church. And then Reggie Howe, which is my twin brother that's not really my twin brother. We share the same birthday. He's my Yankee brother. He's from up north, but he'll be doing the service tonight. Did you come this morning expecting God to do something? Are you ready for God to do it? I mean, to me, he's done it. I'm going to tell you, that wasn't easy for me to do, and I usually say a lot more in the baptistry. But I use the KISS principle. Y'all know what the KISS principle is, don't you? Keep it simple, stupid. Yes, that's exactly it. You know God uses broken vessels, right? Well, I'm a crackpot. Okay. And God has blessed me. I am truly living the abundant life abundantly. Men, women, do you struggle with God's will in your life? I started Clarksdale Baptist Church in 1991 or two. 91. And I'm going to give away a pastor's secret, okay? I'm sorry, but I got to tell them. My wife is sitting out there and she's giving me hand signals. Okay? You know what I'm talking about, don't you, brother? You know what I'm talking about, don't you, Brother Shelby? 1991, I joined Clarksdale Baptist Church, and there's a big story about that. Don't have time to tell you, but ask me and I'll be glad to tell you. I struggled for years. I went to the pastor and said, I need to do something. He said, I know the thing for you. I have three girls. Tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. Okay? Beautiful girls. Lovely girls. And he said, you have three girls? I know exactly what you need. I went to the RAs as a leader of RAs. Thank you, Lord. And from that point, though, I did more and more. Taught Sunday school. Got involved with youth. Become a deacon. And trust me, I wasn't the man to be a deacon. I didn't feel worthy. Men, if you feel worthy to be a deacon, you're probably not, okay? I'm just going to tell you. If you ever go into the deacon, on the deacon board like that, you got the wrong heart set. But I struggled for years. I have had three callings in my life. Two of them were going to the mission field. My children are about Audrey's age at that time. I said, God, I'll be glad to go, but please let me wait. I don't want to take my children out of the country. I said no. That's what I said. Now, this is not the message I got for you, but I'm telling you. And then I had a long cold spell with the Lord. You see, I sinned. I was disobedient. And the best I know, he was just putting that call on my life for me to realize something, that I was disobedient. But for years, I struggled with what God would have me to do. again, I get a call to go to the mission field. Whoo, I was excited. I knew where I was going. I was going to Yemen. See, I'm a medical person. I work in the x-ray at the hospital. I can go in there and I can use the talents that God had me learn years before. And I can help the people in Yemen at the missionary hospital. And I started applying to the IMB. Door after door after door. Windows. They even stuffed things in the vents so it wouldn't happen. 2 months later, terrorists broke in, killed all the missionaries in the church in Yemen. Y'all probably remember that out of the news. But it was a real call on my life, you see. But I believe God did that to show me that I have become obedient once again. I still struggled. I wasn't doing enough. My wife would tell you, I fretted every Sunday. I'm just not doing enough. Then I got the great task. I got voted in as deacon chairman, and we do a rotating deacon chairmanship. 3 months into that, the pastor resigned at Clarksdale Baptist Church. Woo! Doggies, I didn't know churches could be like that, y'all. It's a great church. Great, loving church. But the enemy worked not on hour by hour, but moment by moment. And every time the enemy come and I got hit with something else, there's a little voice behind me. Don't hold it against the person. It's not the person. It's the enemy. My wife and I got to see God work miracles in that. It was 9 months of my term during that time. And she would look at me when I'd take a call and she'd just stare at me. She said, "Where's my husband? Where did you get that wisdom? I don't have it." Y'all can figure out by hearing me speak, I'm not very intellectual. I'm a hillbilly from Kentucky, long misplaced. Okay? In April, had that severe struggle again about what I should be doing because I didn't have a ministry anymore. Rotated off the deacon board. Wasn't teaching Sunday school. Did I fail God in that position? Was my question. My wife and I went down to the altar, and I told God, I said, "God, I don't have to tell any man here. No man needs to know this. But if you want me to go in the ministry, open the door, and I'll go through it." The very next day, I got a telephone call from a church asking for a resume, and I said, "I don't have a church resume." I said, "I work. I've always worked. But I said, I'll come down and talk to you. And I'll make a letter of what I've done in the church." I have not stopped filling a pulpit since that very day. I have never in my life been more content in the Lord. You see, you can be in God's will and be over on the fringe of it, or you can be right dead center in it, of it. Today, my message to you is going to be a challenge. I told Brother Shelby, when I called him and told him about my message, I said, "I guess you could title my message, 'Are You Just Wet?' Because I'm going to preach on baptism a little bit. I want to let you understand, I don't take baptizing a child lightly, okay? Matter of fact, my youngest daughter, Melissa, and she's in Kansas City right now, when she got saved at Clarksdale Baptist Church, my pastor and I, we kind of hesitated 3 times. "Hey, I want to be baptized." And she always had the right answers, okay? But we just didn't feel like it was time. And she, the last time she said, "Daddy, I don't care whether I get baptized or not. I'm still saved." So we baptized her. You know, I asked the pastor, "How can you argue with that child?" You can't. Now, I don't know you guys. I know Brother Shelby. I have loved Brother Shelby since the first time I met him. I mean, we just clicked, didn't we? I just like that. You know, God puts us together for a thing. And whether you believe it or not, God weaves Shelby's way over here. I truly believe for my daughter. Because she was not strong in going to church and doing, like, not necessarily not doing what she should, but she just had kind of drifted a little bit. She married a fine man over here, Daniel. She got a good name, Daniel. Yeah. So, that being the point, God has ordained this moment. This is a providential appointment here. I want you to stop back. In 1984, 85, we lived in Fort Payne, Alabama. Do y'all know what was in Fort Payne, Alabama? Country music group called Alabama. And every June, they had this festival called June Jam. Now, y'all may not know what June Jam is, but you probably know about, let's see, the 2011 Egg Bowl at Starkville. Y'all know about that, don't you? Didn't Mississippi State win that one? Y'all know about that one? Okay, so I ain't going no further than 2011, y'all. All the people come in, they're screaming and ringing cowbells, and it's a lot of excitement, isn't it? June Jam was like that. They had 85,000 people. Now, if you've never been to Fort Payne is a city in the valley of Lookout Mountain and Sand Mountain. Or actually, I think it's Sand Mountain and Lookout Mountain. It doesn't matter. Anyway, they had 85,000 people in that valley, and I went to that June Jam with a friend. It was wall-to-wall people. Now, I want you to get that vision in your mind right now, okay? Because we're going to look at some verses here in a minute, and this is the way it was when Jesus taught the multitude, okay? That's what I want you to think about, a big concert or whatever event you've ever been to where people just flowed in like cattle. And Jesus is teaching the gospel to the multitudes. In Mark 10, 13 through 16 says, "Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them." Don't bother the master. He's about God's business. He's busy. Don't bother him. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God." Now, I want to make a point here. You ever watch children? My granddaughter called me at 6 o'clock Friday morning. "Papa, y'all coming over?" "Yes, Audrey, we're coming over." "Oh, boy, Papa, Chick-fil-A has some ice cream, and it's better than chocolate." I said, "Baby, we're going to Chick-fil-A." "Y'all know how Papa's are." She called me again that evening. "Papa, when are you going to get here?" She was excited. Some people would push a child away saying, Don't bother me. I'm too busy. You see, but Jesus said, let me get back to my point with Chick-fil-A. We got in there, we ate, we had the great ice cream, and then they went to play in the cage. Now, Audrey and my grandson Carter were the only two in there for a little while, and then a little boy come in. You ever notice children? They know no strangers, do they? They love openly, don't they? They love freely, don't they? They don't look at color. They don't look at creed. They don't look at sexual orientation. Okay, I had to go there. I'm sorry. But it's true. They just love other kids, don't they? And they'll run up and play with them and never have met them before. Matter of fact, one of my girls kissed a kid in Kroger's. You know the kid. The one got stuff coming down here and stuff coming down here, and his eyes are all... I'm technically challenged, too. She gave him a kiss on the cheek. I said, "Don't do that." But the children love children, do they not? Listen to what Jesus said about the children. "Let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God." Do you love people as a child? Just stop and think. Now, I'm sorry. I hate to be pointing fingers, but I'm pointing fingers. I got some pointing at me, too. "Surely I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter into it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. You see, children love children, and we are to love people as children love people. We are to love the Father as children loves the Father, or grandfather as that may be. Okay? You see, that's how the kingdom of heaven is. Oh, one thing come out a while ago as we were singing. You know, there's something missing in heaven. Did you know that? Brother Shelby, I know it sounds strange, but I'm going to tell you. Something's missing in heaven. You know what that is? I'm going to promise you, every one of you have had a problem with this. I say that with no hesitation. Sin is missing in heaven. Hallelujah. Sin is missing in heaven. What a day are we going to have? But you have to be like a little child. Now, I want to point out, and it's kind of strange how God works out. No, it's providential how God works out. The Sunday school lesson that Shelby taught today was my message. And as we left, I said, you done get my message. You know, he said, really? I said, yeah, look at these notes. Matthew 3:13-17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And you're coming to me? And Jesus answered and said, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fill all righteousness. Then he allowed him, and he had been baptized. Jesus immediately came up from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened up to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. Now, Christian, this is to the Christians. If you're not saved yet, this is not to you yet, okay? I'm going to ask you, Christians, do you believe this book? Amen. Is it completely true? Amen. Is it 100% infallibly inerrant in God's Word? Yes. Did God make the world in 6 days? Yes. Not 6,000 years like some people will tell you? This is God's Word. It is true. Do you truly believe that? Okay. Who is Jesus to you, Christians? Do you go to him when you're so brokenhearted and pray, Jesus, please help me then? Do you forget about him when you wake up in the morning feeling good and go off to work, forget to say your prayers? Do you open your book every day and read out of that book? Do you pray for people throughout the day as you go? Now, this is just for Christians. If you don't know Jesus, don't worry about this right now, okay? I'm going to show you something. I'm going to ask you in just a few minutes who Jesus is to you again. And I want you to think about this. In Romans 3:10-18, it tells us that there's none righteous. But with their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Now, Christian, Mr. Christian, are you there yet? How's your speech? Does it glorify God? I'm going to be honest. I'm a man. I'm a preacher. I hear people tell me, you're a preacher? Don't say that. My wife tells me that quite frequently. You're me. I'm not 100% there yet, but the day I die, I'll be 100% there. You know? What about you? Who do you believe Jesus was? Do you believe in the swoon theory? Y'all know what the swoon theory is, don't you? There's a theory that Jesus didn't die on the cross, that he fainted, they took him down and took him off the tomb, and then they revived him and he left. Mary, the Merovingian line, Herod, you know, that's a theory. That's all it is. There's no fact or basis to a theory. You can have a theory and no proof. The proof is in the grave. Amen. The Roman drove the spear in his side. They nailed his hands down. They did not kill him. He said, Father, I commend my spirit into your hands. Jesus lives today. There's an empty tomb to prove that. But Christian, who is Jesus to you? Do you believe this book? How's your speech? Are you deceitful? Oh, April 15th's coming up. How's your taxes doing? Woo, I hit the bad line earlier. Ooh, how is it? Let me tell you what God said about Jesus, going back to Matthew. And Jesus came and spoke, in verse 17, Matthew 3. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God spoke and said, I am well pleased in my Son. Jesus himself said about himself, All authority has been given to me in heaven and in on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Christians, do you witness? Are you too scared to witness to folks? You tell people, you don't have to know the Romans Road gospel to witness. Tell them what Jesus has done for you. Man, in 1980, I believe it was, in Bruce, Mississippi, I met Jesus. When I was 12 years old, I got wet. I knew right from wrong, and I knew who Jesus was, and I knew that I was doing wrong. But do you know what? I didn't have him here. Oops, sorry. I didn't have him in my heart. And man, in 1980, when Jesus come into my heart, and it wasn't in church. It was in church, but it was at a gospel singing. It was like an anvil was lifted off my shoulders because a man put out his hands and died for me. Oh, glory. Now, Christians, do you witness? Do you have your speech right? Do you think about God? What do you believe completely? I'm meddling again. Do you tithe? Let me meddle a little further. Do you go above the tithe? Oh, gosh, y'all ain't never going to want me to come back. I understand that. But the fact's a fact. You are what you believe. Do you believe that Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin, died on the cross? Not only physical pain did he suffered the wrath of God upon him for my sin and your sin. What do you believe? Oh, I'm going to lay off you, Christians. Okay? I'm going to get off y'all. Maybe you don't know who Christ is. Maybe you've never had that defining moment that you accepted Christ in your life. Maybe you have said, oh, God, save me, and you think you're saved. But you live like the devil afterwards. If you're a Christian and you can sin and it doesn't bother you, you need to go back and check out your salvation experience. Because if you sin as a Christian and you feel no remorse, you feel no shame, then you may not have the real thing. And in the latter days, there will come many proclaiming to be Christians. And what's Jesus going to tell them when they get to heaven? Depart from me. I never knew you. Maybe you're not a Christian. Romans 3, verse 10 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. Are you going to collect your check? You ever think about that? When we check out here, we're going to collect a check, y'all. We're going to collect a check. Either we're going to collect a check that's negative, or we're going to collect a check that's positive. And the one that's negative is going to be eternal, and the one that's positive is going to be eternal. There's no other way. You're going to get paid for your wages one way or the day. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Oh, you might be sitting there thinking, I can wait until tomorrow. That's not true. The Holy Spirit has to call you. And people, don't ever think that you lead somebody to Christ. You show them the way. The Holy Spirit draws them. I went into Clarksdale Baptist one night. I was always big with youth. I was active in the youth. Went in one Wednesday night, and we had this dynamic youth minister, Mark Kelly. He's a nut, too. He's a crackpot, too. And I tell him that to his face. Y'all don't have to worry about that. But he knows it. And he come to me, What are you doing? I said, I just got here. What did I do now? You know? He said, I may need you in a minute. I'm showing this film. And I know somebody's going to be saved. Now, I had been fretting. God, I've never led anybody to the Lord. And Christian, have you ever asked God to let you do that? Huh? You say, I try to read the Bible, but I can't understand it. Have you ever asked God to help you understand the Bible? You see, we don't think about these things, but God grants it. That movie let out, it hadn't been 5 minutes from the time I was fretting that I'd never led anybody to the Lord until God had me lead a young man to the Lord. And as far as I know today, he's walking the life of a Christian, a true Christian. You see, many people are going to call themselves Christian, and they're going to be separated like chaff from wheat, goats from sheep. You ever wonder why God used goats as an analogy? Anybody in here been around goats? Huh? They do what whoever's out in front, they're going to follow that goat, that sheep. And that sheep will walk right off a cliff, and all of the rest of them will walk right off a cliff. Now, goats, anybody been around goats? They're mean animals, I'm going to tell you. Don't bend over in front of a goat. I learned that lesson the hard way. And do not offer the goat something to eat, thinking he's only going to eat what you offer him because he'll get your finger. Okay? No, he didn't. Okay? But he'll try to eat your finger. They're mean animals. What a great analogy. We are sheep. If you're not a Christian today, what do you do to get saved? Isn't that strange? That's something strange. We can't see Jesus. Oh, we can if we know where to look. But a lost person really don't know where to look most of the time. What do you have to do? Romans 10:9-10 says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's it in a nutshell. I'm here to tell you today, God loves you. He loves you more than any person on this world loves you. My wife will argue me to death that she loves my girls better than I do. Because she was their mother, they lived in her. Well, I have to concede, that's true. But I love my girls. You know what? God loves me more. I'm going to be honest with y'all. If y'all had to... I had to send one of my girls to the cross for y'all, I doubt it would happen. I'd like to think it would. I'd like to think I'd love like Jesus loved enough. I'll be honest, I don't know that I do. You ever thought about that? Every baby that's born, when I see the couple, I ask them, do you understand how much God loves you now? And they just cry because they do. I challenge you, church. Step up. I don't know you. Y'all probably the finest church. You got a great pastor. I love him like a brother. He is my brother. But I'm telling you, we can all do more. And if you're older, God's not through with you. God's not through with you. The very least, and it's not least at all, you can pray. And that's one of the best things you can do. Where are you at in your walk today? What challenge has God put on your heart? You don't like the way something's done? Change it. Change it for righteousness, though. This last current election, I don't know where y'all stand, but I didn't. I voted. I didn't worry about it. I didn't watch election stuff. I voted for what I felt was the best choice, not the best man. I don't think we voted for the best man this year. Okay? But I'm telling you, I wasn't worried about who went in. For you see, God put them there. And if we go through 4 years in recession and bankruptcy in the United States, civil unrest, that's what we deserve as Christians. We let the world take over. It's now for us to stand up and be a Christian soldier like the song says. Are you ready to march? Are you ready to do more? Do you believe in this book? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for you and took the wrath of God upon himself for your sin? I would say act like it then. And that's a convicting finger toward me, y'all. Okay? Just want you to know that. I'm going to give another little pastor secret, Ray. Most pastors I know, they give a message. Everybody's like, oh, that message hit me. You were preaching to me today, preacher. No, God was preaching to me today. You see, God gives us messages that we need to hear. You know? Don't mean to give all the secrets away, brother. But that's what God does. In just a moment, there's going to be an invitation. Now, Christian, you may not need to come down and be saved. But you may need to confess to God that you've sinned and let that separation grow. That happens, just like in my life when I first got the call into the mission field. But you see, the invitation is open to you also to make things right with God. I pray that God blesses this church tremendously. I know how busy and how wrong life is. About 4 years ago, on December 23rd, I received a phone call from a young lady so distraught. I was at work at the hospital. I'm bivocational. I actually work. A young lady was so hysterical, I couldn't understand her. I said, ma'am, you got to calm down. I can't understand a single thing you're saying. And then I heard, Uncle Danny. My oldest brother was taken away. And at that time in my life, we had turmoil in our families. I didn't speak to my middle brother. My girls were all upset with each other. My wife and I had problems. My oldest brother, who I had idolized as a teenager, had been taken away. And he had been in the pastor. And you know what? Out of something bad, God creates good. My family was reconciled. My brother and I were reconciled, my other remaining brother. And God does good things out of bad things. That's the power He has. Christian, if you need to witness, don't rely on your own power. The words will be given to you by the Holy Spirit. But today you may not know who Jesus Christ was. You may not have tomorrow. You may not have but time to walk out of this building. You may not have that time to get right with God. Once that threshold is crossed, there's no going back. You can't cross that great gulf. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You today, Lord. Lord, I thank You for Your blessings, Father.